It's great to be back. This is almost a second home church in the Winnipeg area. I hope you don't mind me calling it Winnipeg area, but you are in Winnipeg area. And I've just finished doing being one of the speakers at the last day's the Winnipeg Prophecy Conference. I'm going to be sharing how I take the gospel to Jehovah's Witnesses, and as I'm doing this, it'll also give you some insights on how to share the gospel with Jewish people. And Jehovah's Witnesses have begun all over the world to set up displays. And I love that, because they can't hide. And if you have a display on the street, you better be willing to take the flack. I do open-air preaching, and I set up a literature table. And when I set up a table, there is sort of a saying amongst people who do that kind of stuff that the best thing you can happen is to get a heckler. Because a heckler will draw a crowd. And if you know how to handle a heckler, you can take a very boring witnessing encounter and it can become very exciting. And so, but the Jehovah Witnesses don't like hecklers. So when someone like me comes along to them, this is how the conversation normally goes. I'll come up to the table and I will say, "Are you Jehovah's Witnesses?" "Well, I know who they are." "Well, yes." And I say, "You don't look like a Jehovah's Witness to me." "What do you mean?" "Well, the passage that Jehovah's Witnesses use to justify their existence is Isaiah 43, verse 10. Now, I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible, but I'm going to change a couple of words as I'm speaking, because I'm going to pretend that you are Jehovah's Witnesses. It says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith Jehovah." Now, your Bible says the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Well, that is the word Jehovah or Yahweh, more correctly, Yahweh. So, "You are my witnesses, says Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." I said, but that can't apply to Jehovah's Witnesses. Because look at verse 3 in context. "I am Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." I said, if you're the real Jehovah's Witnesses, you plundered Egypt. As far as I know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have not plundered Egypt yet, although I think they do have some workers there, so they are trying to plunder Egypt, but Jehovah's Witnesses have not plundered Egypt. And then you go down in verses 5 and verse 6. "Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth." I'm saying the real Jehovah's Witnesses are going to be brought back to the Holy Land, the promised land, the land of Israel in the last days. I don't think God has called the Jehovah Witnesses to go to Israel. Now, I know there have been some Jehovah Witnesses that have gone to Israel. They sent a couple of missionaries there. Those poor missionaries made a mistake to go visit Menno Kalischer's church. They are now real Jehovah Witnesses. They got saved. And so I tell my Jehovah Witness friends, you should check out Jerusalem Assembly and say, because you sent a couple of missionaries over to Israel and see what they discovered. They're now born again Christians. Because you see, the Jewish people know their Bible much better than Jehovah Witnesses. So whoever the real Jehovah Witnesses are, they'll come back from the four corners of the earth to the Holy Land in the last days. That doesn't sound like the Watchtower Society to me. And then it goes on in verse 14. Thus says Jehovah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is from the ships. Oh, I see here the real Jehovah Witnesses, whoever they are, were carried away to Babylon. So whoever Isaiah is addressing, they plundered Egypt. They'll come back to Israel in the last days, and they were carried away to Babylon. I say, that doesn't sound like the Watchtower Society to me. And they must be trained to do this because they always give the same response. And I pretend, oh, this is new. Oh, wow, this is great. I know exactly what they're going to say. They will say something like this. When Isaiah wrote that prophecy, he was talking about physical Israel, but physical Israel has been replaced by spiritual Israel. And I ask an innocent question. Are you spiritual Israel? And they say, yes, we are. My next response you probably would not be expecting me to say, because I say, I agree totally. You are spiritual Israel. And then I'll say, oh, by the way, Israel is not an English word. It is a Hebrew word. Do you know what Israel is if you translate it into English? He who strives against God. So by your own admission, you are spiritually striving against God. You are spiritual Israel. And because you are spiritually striving against God, then I think we can refer to Romans chapter 10 to the spiritual Israel, Jehovah Witnesses. Romans chapter 10. 1-3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for spiritual Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them, spiritual Israel, record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and they, spiritual Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, I was talking about physical Israel, those who are physically striving against God, But since the Jehovah Witnesses are spiritual Israel, this must apply to them as well. So I said, because you are spiritually striving against Israel, number one, you need to be saved. And I take them to John 3:3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You are an impostor, Mr. Jehovah Witness. How dare you say that you belong to Kingdom Hall when Jesus said you can't even see it? Mr. Jehovah Witness, do you want to be able to see God's kingdom? Let me give you a little secret. You need to be born again. Would you like to obey Jehovah's desire? Would you like to obey the command of God and become born again? You can do that right now. Well, they don't want to do that. We'll get to that a little bit in just a moment. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They are ignorant of the Bible. They really are. They've got a few pet passages that they use to try to confuse or to discourage Christians. They twist it out of context. But when they meet someone like me, and hopefully someone like you, and they begin to discuss the scriptures, you soon become aware that they are totally ignorant of God's word. Totally ignorant of God's word. And number three, they are self-righteous. They are self-righteous. Unfortunately, there are some Christians who are self-righteous as well. But you know, I've got no claim to any righteousness except for the righteousness that is by the blood of the Lamb. My righteousness is imputed by Jesus Christ. I'm nothing but a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. And you are nothing but a dirty, rotten sinner, hopefully saved by grace. There may be one or two here that you're just a dirty, rotten sinner and you're not saved by grace. You're just a dirty, rotten sinner. So, normally at this time, they pack up. And if you were at the conference, I come from Calgary, and so when John is trying to get people back into the conference, you know, they want to have their cookies and coffees. I tell everybody, you need to do the 100-yard mosey and come back into the conference room. You know, mosey on in. They don't mosey. They boogie. They just run. Because they have been trained to avoid independent thinking. And I am causing them to doubt their faith. And by the way, the 144,000, they say only 144,000 are going to make it into heaven. So I like to take them there. Normally I might be able to talk to them about the 144,000, or I might be able to talk to them about the real Jehovah Witnesses, but I rarely get to point number two. I will do one or the other because they never allow me to speak to the second one. So they are very 144,000 very important to them. So I ask them, where is that found? Well, I know where it's found. Sometimes they don't, but some of them do. After these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor a sea or any tree. I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not this earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead." And I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. It's not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. It's talking about the children of Israel. And they'll say, well, you can't take that verse literally. Well, my Bible says the scriptures is of no private interpretation. So I'll say, okay, you interpret this for me. What does it mean of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000? What does that mean? Well, I don't really know. What does it mean of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000? What does it mean of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000? Well, it can't mean that. Okay, well, what does it mean? All scripture is for our benefit. Why is it talking about 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben? Why is it saying that? At this point, there you can see them. They're worried, they're panicking, and sometimes they'll go just a minute and they'll reach into their briefcase because they have their answer book. Just a minute, I'll try to give you an answer. And they go and read from their answer book, and their answer book says something like this: we know this cannot be taken literally because the tribe of Dan is missing and the tribe of Joseph is in here. Therefore, it can't be talking about the literal 12 tribes of Israel. Well, I remember the first time I started to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, they say, there's a tribe of Joseph and not Ephraim. I said, okay. I said, can we take a look at Numbers chapter 1? And let's take a look at verse 32 of the children of Joseph, namely the children of Ephraim by their generations. And then you go down to verse 33, even of the tribe of Ephraim. I said the Old Testament uses Joseph and Ephraim interchangeably. My Jehovah's Witness friend would not open his Bible to Numbers chapter 1. I'm assuming someone had shown that to him before. So Joseph being missing from, or Joseph replacing Ephraim and now tribe of 144,000, that's easily explained. Joseph and Ephraim are used interchangeably throughout the Bible. But they say Daniel is not there, the tribe of Dan. He's been replaced by Levi. Well, Levi, there's actually 13 tribes in the Old Testament. Levi never had an inheritance. And the children of Joseph, verse 2, Manasseh and Ephraim. So Levi is normally not included in the 12 tribes because their inheritance was of the Lord. Now the tribe of Dan is replaced by Levi. And 144,000 are Jewish evangelists who accomplish in 7 years what the church failed to do in 2,000 years. They'll take the gospel to every human on the face of this planet. And you will not be able to stop them. They will have a zeal, 144,000 John the Baptists. You won't be able to shut them up. You have a Jewish person who's, you know, I've got a lot of Jewish friends. We had one of my good friends, Sharon, was there on Thursday for our Honor Israel night. She's from Calgary. You want to see someone who has a zeal to do something, Sharon's the one. Boy, when she does a function for the Canadian Mogen David Dome, It's like a Hollywood production. But she raises thousands of dollars because it's in her heart to help raise money for ambulances. By the way, I'm on the board of the Canadian branch, so I'm just praying that she'll get saved, because if she goes and does the gospel with the same zeal that she's doing with the Canadian Mogan Dabit Odom, she'll turn Calgary upside down. Just as if John might be able to talk Ariel into receiving the Lord. He's with the JNF here in Winnipeg. Ariel becomes a believer, you're not going to be able to stop him. If he only does half the zeal for the gospel as he does for the Jewish National Front, Winnipeg, look out. He'll turn it upside down. We have 144,000 Jewish people, Jewish men who will preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Dan is not included in those 144,000. Probably because Dan was known for his idolatry. There was an idol in the tribe of Dan. Dan was always bad news in the Old Testament. However, we get to Ezekiel chapter 48. And we have the listings of the 12 tribes. Dan is located as one of the 12 tribes. But what I find very interesting is in the last part of Ezekiel 48, it talks about the gates of Jerusalem, the millennial Jerusalem, and it says, and at the east side, 4,500, three gates, one gate for Joseph, one gate of Benjamin, and one gate of Dan. Dan is raised up to a place of honor in the millennial kingdom. He is going to have his gate on the east, a place of honor. You see, Dan is going to fall away. His tribe is going to be among the apostate Jews during the 7-year tribulation. But they will learn their lesson in the tribulation, and they will have a place of honor. So Dan is not included in the 144,000, but God has not forsaken Dan, and he'll have a place of honor during the millennial kingdom. Yeah, they're talking about 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And just because Dan isn't there does not mean we shouldn't take it literally. And then if we keep going, in Revelation chapter 14, we see another description, 144,000. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. Heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and a voice of great thunder, and heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed among men, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. That eliminates totally the Jehovah Witnesses. But let me just give you a couple of points. Number one, they follow the Lamb. They follow Jesus. Number two, they are redeemed. Jehovah Witnesses are not redeemed. And number three, there is no guile in their mouths. If you read the writings of Jehovah Witnesses, Their writings is full of guile. So the 144,000 cannot be Jehovah Witnesses. They are the Jewish people. And by the way, they're virgins. Jehovah Witnesses, well, they're spiritual virgins. No, no, the Bible clarifies it. They know no women. It's not talking about spiritual virgins. It's talking about physical virgins. There's going to be 144,000 physical virgins of the 12 tribes of Israel, which will take the gospel to the end of the earth. This is not talking Jehovah Witnesses, but the Jewish people. About a month ago, I got a phone call from a man who became a friend of mine. His name is Philip. And he goes out on the streets and he hands out tracts like I do. And Philip said, "Larry, I have met a Jewish Jehovah Witness from Argentina. And he has agreed to meet with me at the Marlboro Mall. Can you come and join us?" So I did. And we went through much of what I just shared with, and we agreed to disagree on how we should interpret the scripture. And then Ariel, he was born in Israel. He went to Argentina and converted to Jehovah Witnesses, brought up the issue of the Trinity. "So do you believe in the Trinity?" he asked me. I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Because it's biblical." By the way, some of the stuff I'm sharing with you on the table there is what the God of Israel, one God or three. There's a small number there. I didn't bring as many as I should. But if you're witnessing to Jehovah Witnesses or Jewish people, this would be a very good track. I said, "I believe in the Trinity because the Bible teaches the Trinity." And then he said, "Well, what about Deuteronomy 6:4? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." I said, "Ariel, you know what it says in Hebrew. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad." I said, "The word Echad does not mean one, it means unity." I said, "Remember your prayer book. I believe with perfect faith that God is a unity and there is no other unity like the Lord our God." You see, there are two words translated one from the Hebrew. One is Yachid, which means one and only. When God spoke to Abraham, he said, "I want you to take your son, your Yachid son, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice." That's the one. That's translated as one. That's one and only. But he said to Adam and Eve, or said to Adam, that man shall be, husband and wife shall be echad flesh, a unity. And you see, what is found in Deuteronomy 6:4 is not one, but a unity. And because he was raised in Israel, and because at one time he went to the synagogue when I quoted him Maimonides' 13 articles of the faith, that God is a unity, not one, he just said, "I've never thought of that before." And I take a couple of other passages. In the book of Exodus, we have Jehovah appearing before Moses. And once again, it's capital L-O-R-D, but I'll use the word Jehovah. "And Jehovah spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friends. You see, Jehovah's Witnesses have been told over and over again, Jehovah has never appeared to man. I said, who is this one? Exodus 33:11. And here we have Jehovah speaking to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I said, what does that mean? He said, I've never seen that before. I took him to one more. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. And here, once again, I'll insert the word Jehovah for the Lord. Then Jehovah rained upon Sodom, Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Jehovah out of the heavens. Jehovah in Sodom, Jehovah in the heavens. And Ariel said, I'm going to have to go and do some more reading. Now, normally, Jehovah's Witnesses will not take literature. And he wasn't going to take any literature, but I had a Hebrew Spanish Old Testament, which he took. Which is great news, because he's no longer using the New Worldly Translation. It's a translation which the author said, one of the ways we have honored Jehovah is by removing the Trinitarian bias found in the Bible. They changed the Bible. Ariel said, you've challenged me. Let me go do some research. Give me your email address and I'll get back to you. I gave it to him. I knew he wasn't going to call back. I've talked to too many Jehovah's Witnesses who tell you, we'll do that, but they probably go to their elders and the elders say, don't talk to them anymore. Because you know, they're told, avoid independent thinking. But he can't stop me from getting people to pray for Ariel. Ariel is a Jehovah's Witness who's Jewish. And I'm hoping that you will pray that the Lord might win Ariel to himself. But it's not all bad news. My wife and I, we are involved in the Last Days Bible Conference in Calgary. It was sort of birthed from the Winnipeg Prophecy Conference. And last year, Angie brought out her friend Lonnie to the conference, a Jehovah's Witness. In between the breaks, I took Lonnie aside, shared the gospel, and praise the Lord, Lonnie received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. About 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege, the joy, of baptizing Lonnie in the Bow River in Calgary. She's growing in the Lord. And so Jehovah's Witnesses, yes, they are hard, but so are Jewish people. Let me give you a little secret. So are Muslims. But Muslims are listening to the gospel too. Let me give you a secret. And so are liberal Christians. So are the pagans difficult to win to the Lord. And probably the hardest of all are evangelical Christians who are religious but lost. You know, there's probably in every church there's one or two people who go to an evangelical church or hear the gospel week after week, but they've hardened their heart and they will not respond to the gospel. Now, what I've told when I started out, I talked about the only way that a Jehovah Witness can ever see the kingdom of God, the only way a Jehovah Witness or a Jewish person, by the way, there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, between the Jew and the Jehovah Witness, between the Jew and the Mormon, between the Jew and the Catholic, between the Jew and the religious but lost evangelical, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you have an authorized 1611 King James Bible, the one that has all the funny words, you see a footnote, born again or born above, from above. Unless a person is born from above, he shall never see the kingdom of God. Jehovah Witnesses will spend their whole lives wasted trying to impress God, and God will say, when on the day of judgment, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What does it mean to be born again? I'll try to explain in a very simple fashion. When I was born a son of Adam, a child of Adam and Eve. What do I mean by that? I was born with Adam's nature. I was born a rebel without a cause. Because I was inherited Adam's nature, I sinned, I rebelled against what my conscience told me was right and wrong, and against what was written in God's revealed word, the Bible. In 1976, I became born again. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. At that point, I went from being a child of Adam to a child of God. I had a new daddy. I'm no longer a child of Adam, but I'm a child of God. And it's as if I was born physically of Adam, but then I became a child of God. I was adopted by the Father who loved me so much he sent his Son. While I was yet a sinner, he sent his Son to die for me. Whether you're a Jehovah Witness or religious but lost, the Gospel of John sums it up so much better than I could have ever done it. Simply says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Ye must be born again. Ye must go from being a child of Adam to a child of God. And as we close this session, I have found it dangerous or a mistake to ever assume that everyone in a church, even in a church that has very sound teaching. And I know that this church has had a history of solid teaching. No one would be able to come to this church week after week, year after year, without hearing the gospel being presented. But I never assumed that everyone sitting in the pew has been born again. I never assume that everyone sitting in the pew has become a new creation in Christ. And so as we close, if there's someone that the Holy Spirit is saying you need to become a child of God, I'm just going to, when the service is over, just come up to myself or John, Pastor Jeremy, and just say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I've ever been born again. I want to be saved. Just do that at the end of the service. Behold, today is a day of salvation. Behold, today is the appointed hour. God loves you. He didn't create you to go to hell. Don't give up his offer. Don't refuse his offer of mercy and grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you that at least most of the people in this room have been born again. They've been washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when they die, they will go to be with the Lord in heaven. But Lord, we want to pour out our hearts for people who are lost, such as Jehovah Witnesses and the Jewish people and Muslims and others. And Lord, there may even be someone here today who's never been born again. We just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would give them no rest until they give their heart to Jesus. Now, Lord, we just pray that you will just help each one of us to be ambassadors as we meet after the service. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.